One here, the conclusion of this Torah's reading relates that Moshe asked Hashem after he obeyed Hashem's command to confront Pare, only to have Pare increase the hardship of the Jewish slaves. Moshe asks Hashem, "Why have you harmed this people? Why do you make it worse for the Yidden?" Hashem answered him, "Now you will see what I will do to Pare." He then continues in the next parsha, "I am Hashem. I appeared by the name of Kel Shakai, but by the name of Havaya, I did not make known to them. You shall know me that I am Havaya, which is Ani Hashem." In Torah Ur, the Alter Rebbe clarifies this exchange, explaining that Hashem's name Havaya is far loftier than its other names. Although the name Havaya was not revealed to the patriarchs Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it was revealed at the giving of the Torah. The Egyptian exile, which prompted Moshe's question, "Why have you harmed this people?" served as a necessary preparatory stage to make possible the revelation implied, "You shall know that I'm Havaya." In that source, the Alter Rebbe concludes that this is also the reason for the length of this final exile. This extended exile prepares for us even the greater revelation of the ultimate future. So in a nutshell, when you go through a hardship in life, it's because Hashem is preparing you for something very, very, very good. Romani here, every hardship you go through, you must look at it like pregnancy. No one looks at pregnancy as something inherently difficult. It's a necessary step for birth, for new life. You must go through the pain of labor to have new life. When someone goes through a hardship, it's because there's something so good coming that you have to go through that hardship for it. And therefore, because why are we in Galus for such a long time in exile? Because we're about to reach the ultimate redemption. So it has to be such a long exile, such a long Galut, because we're getting the ultimate Geulah and the best thing ever coming towards us. Chapter 2. Every concept of the Torah is true and eternal. As such, when a question is raised in the Torah, even though an answer has been given, there is still room for the question. For example, at a Shavuos Vabringen, my revered father-in-law, the Rebbe Rayatz, the previous Chabad Rebbe, once spoke about the question raised in a Hasidic thought. Why was the celebration of Simchas Torah not ordained on the festival of Shavuos, the season for the giving of the Torah? Since that question is raised by Torah authorities, even though there is an answer, there is still room to say that Simchas Torah should be celebrated on Shavuos. Similarly, regarding the matter at hand, when the Torah mentions the question, "Why have you harmed the people?" the question remains forever. Even after the answer I appeared was given, there is still validity for the complaint, why have you harmed this people? Rebbe says an amazing thing. Every word of Torah is eternal. So when Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem, "Why are you making the exile more harder for the Yidden?" even though Hashem is answering because I'm about to give something so great to the Yidden, the Torah, that's the answer that why Hashem is making it so difficult. Right? Because you're about to go something, you're getting Matan Torah, you're getting the revelation of Hashem's name. But that's an answer, just as the Rebbe, but the question remains a question. That still remains a question to Hashem. Why is the Galus so difficult? Why is the exile so hard? And what's one of the reasons? Spiritual, chapter 3. One of the reasons why there is still room for this question is that although the subjugation endured in exile is a necessary preparatory stage in relation to the ultimate future, yes, we have to go through a labor and pregnancy pain for a great birth, there is still no need for it to be manifest in severe physical hardship. Physical subjugation can be exchanged for subjugation of a spiritual nature. As clarified in Torah Ur, there exist spiritual counterparts to all the particular elements of the subjugation in Egypt outlined in the verse. They embittered their lives with harsh labor, with mortar and bricks, and with every kind of work in the field. Basically, the Rebbe says, yes, you do need to go through some labor before you have birth. But you don't need to have labor physical. It doesn't have to be hard for you in a physical sense. You could endure the hardship on a spiritual sense, and that will be enough labor for you to have the new birth of whatever good is coming to you. And the Rebbe is now going to quote a Torah, basically where every word of the verse of our hardships that we went through physically can be explained as a spiritual hardship. It's fascinating. Here we go, look. They embittered their lives. This refers to the Torah, for it is our life. So what does it mean? How do you embitter Torah? What it means is that you could study Torah with such devotion, with such you know, you're so overtaken by it, similar to the hard labor that you put in. Then with harsh labor, this refers to a kushya, a question, or a logical objection raised in the course of Talmudic debate. If you have a Talmud, you're learning something, and something bothers you, that bothersome question could weigh down on you as heavy labor that you do. With mortar, b'chomer, this refers to kal v'chomer, a way of study. Something difficult could be done that way. Again, another way of, kal v'chomer is a way of studying. That could be a way of how you understand the word chomer. With every kind of work in the field, this refers to study of the brice and the laws of laws that are left outside the canon of the Mishnah. There's a field to the field, because field and brice are the same kind of word. They're both outside. And with bricks, levenim, refers to the declaration of a law, libun hilchasa, levenim, which means bricks, also has the same root word as clarification of law. Mm-hmm. Consult, the extensive explanation of that source, in other words, our labor in Torah can, Torah study can produce a refinement similar to that produced by the arduous physical labor in Egypt. Thus, we have a choice whether to undergo the refinement through Torah and Torah study or through physical hardships. The Rebbe says, again, it's every pain could be only spiritual, thus it must be physical. So now, the whole exchange makes sense at the end of this parsha. Moshe is asking Hashem, why are we going through a pain? Hashem says, so I'm about to give the Eden something so special, they have to go through pain before they get to the special thing. Yeah, but the question still remains. Why? Because we could go through it in a spiritual way. We don't want to go through it in a physical way. Chapter 4, and then we'll stop. Just as the subjugation and exile can be exchanged for spiritual subjugation, so too the labor and stress of earning a livelihood, which is the primary dimension of exile, can be exchanged for labor and stress in Torah study. Guys, here's the part that's important. Everyone here. People go through hard time making a living. Put a lot of stress, a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of, we wake up early, there's so much on our minds a whole day trying to make a living. It overtakes us. Says the Rebbe, a person should change the labor, the overtakingness of business pursuits, that instead, Torah should be the thing that overtakes you. In other words, be busy, be overtaken, be stressed by a topic in Torah that makes no sense to you. You learned something, you're struggling with that. What you learned, that should be the struggle instead of the struggle of making a phone call or making a deal. We have to exchange. Everyone has to go through something in life, right? So the thing we go through should be this and not that. Yes, is it? Does it challenging when you know you're trying to understand something you can't make sense of it? Yes. Is it hard to make a deal? Yes. Make sure to have that your stress and not this your stress.